Hi, I'm Jackie Roble with the Triangle Radio Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. During the next 30 minutes, I will be sharing nutrition information from the Nutrition Action Health Letter. Nutrition Action Health Letter is the flagship publication of the Center for Science and the Public Interest. Published 10 times a year, Nutrition Action provides honest, unbiased, science-based advice on nutrition and health. It's the world's largest circulation nutrition newsletter, bringing the latest nutrition news and advice to more than 500,000 readers. Nutrition Action is totally free of advertisings, so we're free to blow the whistle on products that aren't what they pretend to be and to applaud the good ones. Please use the information presented in this broadcast in consultation with your personal physician. The following articles are from the October edition of the Nutrition Action Health Letter. Can a ketogenic diet make new cancer drugs work better? Cancer just loves refined sugar, warned an article on the 20 most carcinogenic foods on MSN.com in June. Why? Because this foodstuff helps cancer cells multiply. Whoa! It's a huge leap to go from saying that blood sugar fuels cancer cells to calling sugar a carcinogen. But a recent study in mice does suggest that very low-carb diets may make some cancer-fighting drugs more effective. A series of cancer drugs are being developed to inhibit an enzyme called P13 kinase, explains Benjamin Hopkins, a postdoctoral associate at the Weill Cornell Medical College. Mutations in the P13K pathway are found in more than a third of all tumors in the breast, uterus, prostate, colon, and other organs, so drugs that turn off the enzyme hold promise. People were excited about the P13K inhibitors because P13K is a fundamental, important pathway in the tumors needed nutrients to grow, notes Hopkins. P13 kinase is activated by insulin. Researchers thought that by turning off insulin signaling, you're telling tumor cells that they don't have the resources to continue to divide, says Hopkins. But trials testing the drugs have been disappointing. So far, the FDA has approved only one, Allocopa, and only for treating relapsed follicular lymphoma. For almost a decade now, clinical trials on P13 inhibitors have never quite had the impact on cancer that clinicians thought they should, notes Hopkins. So he and his colleagues, including lab director Lewis Cantley and author and oncologist Siddhartha Mukherjee, tried to figure out why. We and others observed that when patients received these compounds, their blood sugar spiked, says Hopkins. That's because when the drugs blocked insulin, which allows blood sugar to enter cells, the cells ran short on fuel. That prompted the liver to break down its carbohydrate or glycogen stores, sending a burst of sugar into the bloodstream. But the rise in blood sugar didn't last. If your glucose goes high, insulin is released by your pancreas to lower it, says Hopkins. That's a sign that your body is reactivating the very insulin signaling pathway that the drugs are targeting. It's undercutting the drugs before they start working. But that didn't happen when Hopkins put mice on a ketogenic diet. If you're eating very, very low levels of carbohydrates, your body no longer has glycogen stores to release when blood sugar is too low, he explains. There's no sugar to release, so you don't undercut the drugs. Of course, it's too early to know if the drugs would work in people who eat a very low-carb diet. Trials are underway. But these promising results don't show that a very low-carb diet alone can fight cancer. There are tumor types where the ketogenic diet alone does seem to help. There are tumors that don't seem to care, and there are even some tumors that grow faster on a ketogenic diet, says Hopkins. So the study definitely does not show that a ketogenic diet is a good idea for all cancer patients, and it absolutely does not show that sugar causes cancer. However, it doesn't argue in favor of sugar either. Got prediabetes? Want to avoid moving from prediabetes to type 2 diabetes? Few studies have looked at whether ketogenic diets can help, but one thing is clear. Weight loss is the strongest predictor of whether you convert to diabetes, says Judith Wiley-Rosette of the Albert Einstein College of Medicine. That's based on the Diabetes Prevention Program, DPP, a randomized clinical trial on 3,234 people with what we now call prediabetes. After 3 years, diet plus exercise lowered the risk of diabetes by 58%. Metformin, a drug that lowers blood sugar, cut the risk by 31%. The fact that lifestyle was twice as effective as medication was a shock even to the investigators, says Wiley Rosette. Thanks to the DPP, Medicare pays for older people with prediabetes to participate in approved DPP-like programs. And some insurance plans cover online digital coaching programs like omadahealth.com. Note, Omada's trials are non-randomized and are funded and run by the company. Though the DPP ended in 2002, Wiley Rosette and other researchers are still tracking the participants. The improvement in A1C is largely related to the weight loss, she notes. The composition of the diet, carbs, fat, protein, doesn't seem to make any difference. Want to try a DPP program? The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention lists groups that meet DPP standards, though Medicare hasn't approved them all. You can go to nccd.gov/DDT_DPRP/registry.aspx. Yes, you mayo. The Misunderstood Spread by Lindsay Moyer and Jennifer Urban. 1. Vegan or with free cage-free eggs, avocado or olive oil, sriracha or curry, the mayo aisle is booming. Here's how to find a good one. 1. Take your pick. Mayonnaise looks creamy, but it has no cream. It's mostly oil and water with a touch of egg, vinegar, and salt. That's why a 1 tablespoon serving has only 1.5 grams of saturated fat. Sodium is low, too. Mayos typically range from 70 to 130 milligrams per tablespoon. And most mayos that add sugar contain so little, less than 0.5 gram per tablespoon, that it shows up as zero on the nutrition facts label. That's why we don't have a mayo chart. Nearly all would get a best bite. 2, don't break the bank for fancy oils. The new kid on the block, avocado oil mayo. Chosen Foods, Primal Kitchen, and Sir Kensington's sell mayos made with avocado oil, but a 12-ounce jar will set you back $7 to $10. Hellman's and Kraft's avocado oil mayos are cheaper because they're blended with canola and soy oil. Avocado oil is better for you than most oils used in most mayos, says Chosen Foods. Not really. Most mayos are made with soy, olive, and or canola oil. Like avocado oil, they're largely unsaturated. But soy oil is richer in polyunsaturated fats, which can lower LDL, or bad cholesterol, more than the monounsaturated fats in avocado, olive, and canola oil. 3, go vegan or not. Vegan mayos are in. They keep their oil emulsified by replacing mayo's egg with pea protein, Just and Earth Balance, or chickpea cooking water, the aquafaba in Sir Kendington's Fabinaise. But if you're not vegan, there's no need to go eggless for your health's sake. Regular mayo has a trivial 5 to 15 milligrams of cholesterol per tablespoon. A large egg yolk has 185 milligrams, about 60% of a day's worth. 4, cage-free? Read closely. Made with cage-free whole eggs, says Kraft Oil Olive Oil Mayo. The label's fine print contains at least 65% cage-free whole eggs. The backstory? In 2016, Kraft pledged to go 100% cage-free by 2025. But Hellman's beat Kraft to the punch. It has used 100% cage-free eggs since 2017. 5, consider calories. Regular mayo has 90 to 100 calories per tablespoon. If you want to go lower, try a light or reduced fat variety. Most have 40 to 60 calories. So do some non-lights, like Just, which is 60 calories. But not every low-cal mayo wowed our taste buds. A good bet? Hellman's Light. 6, think beyond sandwiches. Whisking a touch of mayo into your homemade salad dressing can keep the oil and vinegar from separating. And the inventive new crop of flavored mayos can stand in for sauces and more. Here are some more ideas on that. Hellman's Organic Spicy Chipotle, drizzle on fish or shrimp tacos. Just Mayo, the best tasting vegan mayo we've found. Hellman's Real, the real deal. It's called Best Foods West of the Rockies. Just Sriracha, add to lettuce wraps with crunchy veggies and herbs. Hellman's Organic Mild Curry, great in chicken salad with apples and almonds. Spread in the News by Lindsay Moyer and Jennifer Urban. Want a spread that's better than butter? The good news, your days of worrying about trans fat are over, and some new spreads are healthy and delicious. The bad news, to find the best spreads, you have to wade through misleading claims about coconut, butter, ghee, and more. Here's what to look for. Almost any spread beats butter because spreads deliver more healthy unsaturated fat. But to find the best, check saturated fat. Our best bites have no more than 1.5 grams per tablespoon. Honorable mentions can have 2 grams. Added sugar. We didn't give best bites or honorable mentions to sweetened spreads like Land O'Lakes honey or Country Crock honey, which are nearly 1/3 added sugar. Calories. We set no limit because in the best spreads, more calories means more unsaturated fat. But if you're trying to lose or not gain weight, look for light spreads. Most have 35 to 50 calories per tablespoon. Sodium. We set no limit because most spreads don't top 100 or so milligrams per tablespoon. But you can go lower with Smart Balance Low Sodium, 30 milligrams, or with Finlandia 25% reduced fat spreadable butter, 50 milligrams. Butter or better. A tablespoon of regular butter has 7 grams of saturated fat and 100 calories. Extra creamy or European-style butters tack on an extra gram. Why go there? We found some better butters and not butters that taste darn close to the real thing. Your best options from least to most saturated fat, oil and water. Most regularly tubs blend largely unsaturated soy and canola oils with largely saturated palm and palm kernel oils to keep the spread solid, plus water and sometimes buttermilk. The result, 50 to 100 calories and 1 to 3 grams of saturated fat per tablespoon, unless you're talking coconut oil spreads. Miss that buttery taste? Best Bite Brummel and Brown, made with real yogurt, will knock your taste buds off for only 45 calories and 1.5 grams of saturated fat. If you're done with dairy, honorable mention, I can't believe it's not butter, it's vegan, 60 calories and 2 grams of saturated fat, is a good bet. Butter and oil. If you're stuck on butter, at least get it mixed with oil. Saturated fat ranges from 3 grams, ones with more oil, to 6 grams, ones with less. Our hands-down favorite? Finlandia 25% reduced fat spreadable butter, a near miss with 70 calories and 3 grams of saturated fat. Light spreadable butters, they have more water, cut the calories to 50 and the saturated fat to 2 grams. But no lights come close to the flavor of Brummel and Brown made with real yogurt. Whipped butter. Less butter and more air means you get less saturated fat, 5 grams, and calories, 70, per tablespoon. Land O'Lakes whipped butters lead the pack with just 3.5 grams of saturated fat and 50 calories. Artificial trans fat? Sayonara. 0 grams trans fat per serving, proclaim many spread labels. Got that right. Partially hydrogenated oils, the source of artificial trans fat, gave spreads a bad name for decades. But on June 18th, the federal ban on using those oils kicked in. Don't worry about hydrogenated or fully hydrogenated oils. They have no trans fat. Note, a tablespoon of butter contains nearly 0.5 gram of naturally occurring trans, which may be no less harmful. Cocoa nuts. At last, good fat, declares Melt Rich and Creamy, which blends coconut oil with palm, canola, sunflower, and flaxseed oils to get 3.5 grams of saturated fat per tablespoon. Coconut oil is on a roll, but there's no solid evidence that it's a good fat. While some of its shorter chain saturated fats don't raise LDL or bad cholesterol levels, its longer chain saturated fats do, and it's missing the unsaturated fats that lower LDL. The upside? Like Melt, some coconut oil spreads mix in other oils. So instead of the 13 grams of saturated fat in a tablespoon of, say, Nativa Organic Butter Flavor Coconut Oil, you get only the 2.5 grams of saturated fat in, say, I Can't Believe It's Not Butter with Coconut Oil. That's not nearly as bad. Ghee Whiz. Ghee is much better for you than butter, says Forth and Hart. Paleo-friendly, says Kalepo Ghee. The trendy Whole30 diet also pushes ghee. Better than butter? In fact, it's worse. Ghee is butter that has been clarified, which removes milk solids and water. Unfortunately, that also concentrates its dairy fat. So instead of butter's usual 7 grams of saturated fat and 100 calories per tablespoon, you get roughly 8 to 10 grams of saturated fat, half a day's worth, and 120 to 140 calories. To make matters worse, many ghee labels, like Organic Valleys and Fourth and Hearts, use a 1 teaspoon serving instead of the required 1 tablespoon. That makes the numbers look lower. Trying to trick your customers, ghee guys? Cholesterol Smarts. Supports healthy cholesterol levels, boasts Smart Balance. But that only goes for levels already in the normal range, says the fine print. In other words, Smart Balance can't lower your cholesterol like an unsaturated oil would. Hidden on the bottom of the tub is another disclaimer. Clinical research has shown that the right blend of fats may improve your cholesterol ratio when at least 2/3 of your fat intake comes from this product or a properly balanced diet. No spread is likely to supply 2/3 of your fat intake. And a tablespoon of many Smart Balance spreads has 2.5 to 3.5 grams of saturated fat. You can do better with our best bites. On the other hand, Promise Active Light and Benecol can reduce cholesterol levels. Promise adds a gram of plant sterols, and Benecol adds half a gram of stanols per tablespoon. 2 grams per day can lower LDL, or bad cholesterol, by around 8%. The Olive Caper. The goodness of olive oil, promises Olivio Original. Olivio's unique formulation with olive oil products, a rich spread with a delicious buttery taste. Olivio is unsaturated enough for a best bite, but don't let its name or its claim fool you. You're getting more canola and palm oils than pricier olive oil. The same goes for a Smart Balance made with extra virgin olive oil and Earth Balance made with olive oil. Buyer beware. Made with may mean made with very little. Greener pastures? Pasture butter contains elevated levels of beneficial omega-3 fatty acids, said Organic Valley. Really? Each tablespoon has 105 milligrams of omega-3s, says the label, but that's not much. A modest 4 ounce of farmed Atlantic salmon has roughly 2,600 milligrams. What's more, salmon is rich in EPA and DHA, the longer-chain omega-3s that may protect your heart. Organic Valley won't say how much EPA or DHA is in its butter, but odds are the butter's omega-3s are largely the shorter chain, a la that predominates in milk. Why bother? You get 2 or 3 times as much ALA in many spreads, thanks to their soy and canola oils, for less than half the saturated fat. Want to branch out beyond buttery spreads? Try these tips from our healthy cook, Kate Sherwood. Toast. Spread with mashed avocado, peanut or almond butter, mayo and sliced tomatoes, or chopped tomatoes mixed with olive oil and salt. Think bruschetta. Vegetables. Drizzle with olive oil, fresh lemon juice, and salt. Grains or pasta. Top with a dollop of pesto or toss with roasted vegetables. And now for the healthy cook, Kate Sherwood, take a dip. Here are 3 zippy dips for raw or roasted vegetables. The curry yogurt and spicy pepper are also great on chicken or fish. Caramelized onion curry yogurt. 1 Vidalia or other sweet onion, finely diced. 2 tablespoons grapeseed or olive oil. 1 teaspoon curry powder. 1/2 teaspoon kosher salt. 1/2 cup 2% plain Greek yogurt. Sauté the onion in the oil over medium heat, stirring often until golden brown, 8 to 10 minutes. Stir in the curry powder and cook for 30 seconds. Remove to a bowl and stir in the salt and yogurt. Spicy roasted pepper. 2 red bell peppers. 1 red chili pepper. 1/4 cup toasted slivered almonds. 2 tablespoons extra virgin olive oil. 1 tablespoon sherry vinegar or red wine vinegar. 1/2 teaspoon kosher salt. Cut the bell and chili peppers in half and lay them on a baking sheet, cut side down. Boil until the skin is browned in spots, 5 to 10 minutes. Let cool, then remove the skin and seeds. Blend all the ingredients in a small food processor. Avocado hummus. 1 avocado, 3/4 cup no salt added chickpeas, 2 tablespoons extra virgin olive oil, 1 teaspoon lemon zest, 2 tablespoons fresh lemon juice, 1/2 teaspoon kosher salt. Blend all the ingredients in a small food processor until smooth. All 3 recipes make 1 cup. Right stuff. Cauliflower. Cauliflower is having a moment, and not just because it can stand in for carbs like rice. Exhibit A, rainbow cauliflower. You can think traditional breeding for these new or long-forgotten varieties. Orange cauliflower, for example, was discovered in a Canadian marsh in the 1970s. Ditto for rainbow carrots. Carrots were yellow or purple until Dutch breeders reportedly produced the orange household staple in the 1600s. Now there is even white and red. Naturally occurring plant pigments account for the color riot. Beta-carotene makes carrots and cauliflower orange, while anthocyanins turn them purple. Lycopene, plus beta-carotene, pushes carrots into the red zone, while lutein yields yellow. Less beta-carotene means less vitamin A, but overall you can expect roughly similar nutrients, regardless of color. That means a decent dose of fiber, vitamin C, vitamin K, and folate from cauliflower. The green variety, cauliflower crossed with broccoli, has extra C. Carrots deliver fiber and vitamin A, and both have just 20 to 30 calories in a half cup. Food porn, double trouble. A hearty double burger made with unexpected flavor combinations, including crispy applewood smoked bacon, smoky bacon onion sauce, 2 slices of real white cheddar, mild sweet mustard sauce, and an in-house fried onion ring. McDonald's new Double Bacon Smokehouse Burger comes stacked with 2 100% fresh beef quarter-pound patties that are hotter, juicier, and cooked when you order. How exciting! The new arrival is part of Mickey D's Signature Crafted Recipes line, a collection of premium recipe flavors that elevate 100% fresh beef quarter-pound burgers. And elevate it does. Each Double Bacon Smokehouse has 1,130 calories, plus 27 grams of saturated fat, 63 grams of carbs, thanks largely to its white flour artisan roll, and 1,920 milligrams of sodium. It's like eating 2 McDonald's quarter pounders with cheese, and that's without fries or a drink. And if the smokehouse also elevates your weight, cholesterol, blood pressure, and blood sugar, good luck with that. The move to fresh quarter-pound beef burgers is the latest step in McDonald's food journey to better build build a better McDonald's, says the company. What about building healthier McDonald's customers? Guess that's not part of the journey. Dish of the month, rainbow carrot salad. Toss 4 cups of ribbon or spiral-cut rainbow carrots with 1 sliced scallion, 1 tablespoon olive oil, 1 tablespoon red wine vinegar, 1/4 teaspoon kosher salt, and 1/4 cup chopped mixed fresh herbs, parsley, cilantro, mint, or dill. Serves 4. Quick tip, your potatoes turning green? Solution, store them in a dark, dry, cool place, but not in the fridge. To avoid food poisoning, cut away green flesh and any eyes or sprouts before cooking. Quick studies, a snapshot of the latest research on diet and exercise. Vitamin D and new knees. Can a high dose of vitamin D help people recover from knee replacement surgery? Researchers randomly assigned 273 people who just had a knee replacement because of osteoarthritis to take a daily high dose, 2000 IU, or typical dose, 800 IU, of vitamin D, plus 500 milligrams of calcium. After 2 years, there was no difference in falls, pain, or knee function between the groups. What to do? New knee? Stick with the recommended 800 IU of D a day. White bread and cholesterol. People who eat more refined grains have a higher risk of heart disease in some studies. Could white bread, rice, and pasta raise LDL cholesterol? Researchers fed 11 older adults diets that were high in refined grains, whole grains, or added sugars for 4.5 weeks. LDL cholesterol levels were 10% higher after the volunteers ate the refined grain diet than after they ate the whole grain diet. LDL was slightly but not significantly higher after they ate the diet rich in added sugars than after they ate the whole grain diet. What to do? It's too early to know whether larger studies will confirm these results, but they're one more reason to replace refined grains with whole grains and cut back on added sugars. Other studies suggest that they raise the risk of heart disease, type 2 diabetes, and weight gain. Move and lose? Exercise plus weight loss may make your insulin more effective. Scientists randomly assigned 163 sedentary, overweight, or obese people to do aerobic exercise at high or moderate intensity. They used a treadmill, Stairmaster, elliptical trainer, or stationary bike. The people weren't told to change their diets. After 8 months, insulin sensitivity improved more in those who lost at least 3% of their starting weight than in those who lost less. Nearly 1 out of 4 participants lost at least that much weight. Insulin sensitivity improved the most in the group that did moderate intensity exercise, the equivalent of walking about 12 miles a week at a brisk pace. What to do? Get moving. Low risk despite diabetes. Type 2 diabetes need not mean a higher risk of a heart attack or stroke. Swedish researchers compared 5 risk factors or heart attack or stroke in 271,000 people with diabetes and 1,356,000 without the disease. Blood sugar, hemoglobin A1c of at least 7%, LDL cholesterol 100 or more, blood pressure at least 140 systolic or 80 diastolic, albumin in the urine, a marker of kidney disease, and whether the person smokes. During the 5.5-year study, people who had diabetes but none of those risk factors were no more likely to die or have a heart attack or stroke than those without diabetes. However, they still had a 45% higher risk of heart failure. Smoking had the most impact on the risk of dying. High blood sugar had the most impact on the risk of heart attacks and strokes. What to do? Get rid of your risk factors with diet or, if necessary, drugs. Well, that's all the time we have for Nutrition News. Until next time, I'm Jackie Roble for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This program is readily available as a podcast after the initial broadcast at our website, TriangleReadingService.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That's 919-832-5138. Thanks for listening, and here's to your health.